Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 26. This is on page 815 in your Bibles if you'd like to follow along. Jesus is teaching about the kingdom. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. When the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O God, open our eyes to see you, our ears to hear you, our minds to know you, our hearts to love you, and our hands to serve you. Amen. So parables have been described as narrative time bombs, a story time bomb. They are little ditties that are meant to actually undermine our assumptions of things that we normally just accept unquestioningly. It's a turn of a phrase that gives us a vision of something different. The word parable comes from two Greek words, para, which means beside, and balein, which means to throw. So a parable is throwing one thing, a vision of God's kingdom, beside another, the world as it is, and see what happens. The comparisons are often unpredictable. Sometimes they are stark and jarring. Sometimes they are subtle. Sometimes they are obvious. And sometimes they're just really thoughtful, something we just need to think about for a while. Because they will pretty much always call into question accepted truths. They are almost always a bit subversive, challenging us to consider other possibilities in the light of God's promises. The kingdom of God is like, today it's a mustard seed. Kingdom of God. The word for kingdom is actually basileo, which is where the word basilica is based in. But kingdom may not actually be a really accurate translation of what basileo means, because a kingdom, when I think of kingdom, I think of something static, like a place, a defined, fixed, geographical place. That's where the kingdom is. But basileo is actually something more dynamic. It describes the arena of God's activities. Where is God having influence, which may not be bound geographically? Sometimes it gets translated as God's reign or God's rule, so it can have this sort of more on the move meaning to it, highlighting this, that it's active and not bound geographically, which makes sense today since these parables describe something that is more qualitative rather than something that's just a location, a thing in space. When we see the world as God sees it, when we act toward each other as God would have us act, then we are living in God's rule and God's reign. He's ruling in our lives. He's ruling in our church. And that means that we can experience and we can participate, actually, in the kingdom of God here and now. It's not just something that happened on the pages of the Bible or in ancient days. We can participate in the kingdom of God. We can also see where we fall short, that you know, we may not be the ones who are actually able to fully accomplish all these amazing things that God could do. Just as seeds grow without our effort, so also God will bring about his reign, maybe even without us. It's not only up to us. We are not just the only workers for God, because God is the one actually doing the work. We can't automatically make it happen. We can't also then prevent it. Sometimes love and loving things just appear and show up, whether we intended them or not. That's really good news, I think. Because ultimately, then, God is responsible for bringing his rule to bear, for bringing his kingdom to fruition in our lives and in the lives of those around us. In this sense, it is more than like the mustard plant that is often a weed out of control, growing and spreading and not really being able to contain it, even though you may want to. The mustard seeds can sometimes just grow and grow and grow beyond what we might want. And that can be a little unsettling, this promise of God, just his love and kingdom on the move. Kind of like the petition that we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, right? We pray that every week, and I know a lot of you pray that at home all the time. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I wonder, do we really want God's rule to be enacted among us? Of course, the answer is yes. When we or a loved one is sick, or hurting, or in need, and that's where we want to see God's kingdom. But what about when we are content with things just the way they are? Because sometimes, often actually, I think, God's kingdom comes and disrupts things, and possibly even things that we hold dear. Because where God's reign is flourishing, his love shines brightly and becomes, and this is the key, more important than anything else. God's love becomes more important than anything else. When God's love reigns in our church, we will care for other people so much that they will wonder, why are you doing that? We will be so generous that people will ask, why would you do that? That's the reign of God. That's the kingdom of God at work. I believe that his love looks like giving away more than we keep. I believe that his love looks like caring for everybody, as scripture says, for the orphans and the widows and the foreigners. The kingdom of God is like The kingdom of God is like 19 teenagers giving the first week of their summer to serve in Christ's name. And the kingdom of God is really like three adults who are giving up their vacation time and their family time to do the trip as well. The kingdom of God is like, I imagine that you have stuff that comes to your mind when you think of what is the kingdom of God is like, fill in the blank. The kingdom of, when I think about that, the kingdom of God is like what's going on in my aunt's life. My dear Aunt Jan just got diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer, and she has experienced an outpouring of connection and love from people so that when I talk to her, she's overflowing with joy. And she is relishing every minute of every contact with every friend. Her life is full of joy. The kingdom of God is where God's love is found. You know, I wonder, I'm going to take a chance, I wonder if you guys might have a kingdom of God is like moment to share, even like right now. So I'm going to get the microphone because I know the kingdom of God is happening all over. I'm going to bring these along with, I know the kingdom of God is happening in your lives. And so we need to hear about it. So who has experienced the kingdom of God? Cassie has. Can you make your way up here? Cassie just had knee surgery. Well, the kingdom of God is like
walking after her knee surgery. You want to come up to the... Yeah, I'll leave it here.
Well, just something that happened this past week when my first day back to work after being out 11 weeks, I was welcomed back by my colleagues with a breakfast all spread, and it just made me feel so welcomed back, and I was very happy to be back at work anyway, so it really felt special to me.
Right? The kingdom of God is where his love is found. You experienced it. Who else has experienced the kingdom of God? Come on over.
Well, my ex-wife and I were married for 20 years, and we've been divorced for 25 years. And I have to say that our relationship got worse after the divorce than ever. And our family relationship sort of like started to crack and disintegrate. I found like I wasn't we weren't really talking to each other at all. I haven't talked to Molly, my daughter, in a year and a half, or I hadn't. Anyway, I went to my grandson's birthday party, which my son arranged, and my ex-wife approached me immediately as I came through the door with her arms open and a big smile on her face, and she said, "Welcome, welcome." And then I had a bit of time before my daughter actually arrived. Now, this is a girl I haven't talked with since the election, if you can imagine. And I saw, when she came to me, I thought, you know what? I'm not even going to wait for rejection. I'm not going to wait for anything. I'm just simply going to love her the way I was just loved. And it was like amazing. So, you know, God is great.
Yes.
And I guess the thing is, I have this appreciation because I walked through that valley. And that's part of God, too.
God is where love is found. Any other kingdom of God? Where else? Come up.
A few months ago, I lost my job, which I thought was kind of disastrous, even though it was like the worst job on the planet. Worse than the guy who cleans up after the elephants. But still, I was like, and I'm, you know, looking for jobs, nothing's happening. And I found myself being directed to putting all my energies into the church. And it was all of a sudden, I just felt like I was so connected to everybody. And it helped to have that women's book club started around that time. But it was just, all of a sudden, I just felt so connected in a way I hadn't in the almost 5 years since I'd been coming. It was just beautiful. Thank you.
Blessing.
So to me, the kingdom of God is a lot of things, but... It's a body that prays for one another. So I got let go from my job in December, just before Christmas. That was really hard. And for many months I had been praying and praying and praying and praying that the Lord would direct my steps and give me discernment so that I would know the next place I go is right for me. And this has been a very long process. A lot of different opportunities came up. Had to turn down some jobs for a variety of reasons, but I kept going back to what I call my team of prayer warriors. Gail's on my team, and some of you here in this church. And through a very odd set of circumstances, I had applied for a job 7 miles from home. Now, you have to realize I've been driving all over creation for a long time. So that in itself was a really big miracle. And then I topped a field of about 40 people in a very male-dominated environment. They've never hired a woman. Those things don't happen by accident. They don't happen just because. Those are God incidences, and that's what I call them, because I had a lot of people faithfully praying that God would make clear my steps. And every step that I took brought me a little bit closer to this opportunity, and I honestly thought it was not going to happen. Well, I got a job offer on Friday for this job in Littleton that is just a dream job for me. I couldn't have planned it. In December, I thought, I'm too old. No one's going to hire me. But actually, God made that happen. And what I would pray was this. Every time I would go, this was a 6-interview process. Every time I would go, I would say, please, God, let them see in me what you see in me. Make this right for me, that this is the right thing for me. So for me, the kingdom of God is being faithful and having all those people around you faithfully knowing and acknowledging that he is leading your life. That's what it means to me.
God's love is found in prayer warriors. Absolutely. Kingdom of God is like, who else? Who else? More kingdom of God? Well, they're in you and you're thinking about it now. So if you don't get to the microphone, that's okay. Get to somebody else, though, for sharing what that's like. It said in the Bible, what we read, that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Well, you know what? The way it's described in the Bible is actually not the way it is. Mustard seeds really do not grow into huge, huge shrubs with large branches where birds can build nests. They don't. Normally, mustard is a really low shrub. At its largest, it might get 8 feet high, but the branches are not sturdy. They're very fragile, and there's no way they could support a nest of birds. But here in Scripture, the Bible says that the mustard seed acts like it's not supposed to. It's exaggerating on Jesus' part, and it is his best attempt at putting into words that which cannot be described, the kingdom of God. It grows beyond our imaginings and beyond what it's supposed to do. And so this parable shakes us up a little bit and awakens us to the promises that God has made, that he is on the move. He is in our life, he's in our church, he's in our community, he's in our world in ways that don't make sense, in ways that go against the grain, and in ways which will surprise us with the impact of his love. This means that when things are going well, we can take delight in being aligned with his will. It also means that when life is hard, when we meet resistance, or when we fail or fall short of our hopes, it means that we can take comfort in the promise that God is still at work and has not given up on us nor the world and never, ever will. The kingdom of God cannot be stopped. Cannot be stopped. Amen. I invite you to find the blue insert in your bulletins where you'll find the words for the Apostles' Creed. This is a foundation upon which we stand and from where we have a basis to be on the hunt for what God is doing. Please rise and join me as you are able. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Sorry, I'm not wearing a body mic, so I got to stay on this one. This week, look for the kingdom of God. You will see it, and it is where love is found. So when you see something loving, it might just be a, you know, one of those viral videos you find on Facebook or on the internet or something. The kingdom of God is like. So speak that to someone. If you, in your family, if there's something at the end of the day you want to share around the dinner table, the kingdom of God today was like, and tell your kingdom of God stories. The ushers will now come to receive our offerings.
Thank you.
Join me, please, in the prayer of dedication printed before us. Loving God, as we bring these, our offerings, we ask you to bless them for your work and to bless us in your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We shall not offer God that which costs us nothing. Amen. Please be seated.